Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. I am wearing my Coppin State 125 shirt because it looks good. Feels nice on a little bit of a chilly morning. We have some nice weather this week. I'm headed out to Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be doing Baltimore positive poolside at Steve Wynn's Billion Dollar Resort. We're going to be at the Encore, all courtesy of my pal Howard Perlow, who has invited me out. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I'm always a guest. He calls me an ambassador. Huh. I better shave and get something nice to wear. We're going to be out in Vegas all weekend doing that, and we will be back on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery on the 28th at Fadley's later on in the month. The Cardinals in town. We have talked baseball a lot. Luke and I will be monitoring all things baseball this week as the Twins come into town. Nationals come into town as well. But we're going to talk some football here. It has been a week since Justin Tucker was excommunicated from the Purple Kingdom. I know the Ravens would love for us to not talk about this. I've talked to lots of media people. I've had a lot of national people reach to me because as much as the Ravens think they're running away from this fire, the fire is going to come back to their own building as to how this happened for 10 years. And they're going to deny it. It was a football and like all that. It's only the beginning of where the journalism is going on Steve Bisciotti and John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta and how their building is run. I'll make sure of that. But on the football side of things, this is the calm period, right? This is the installation of playbooks for rookies. This is how do we do things around here. This is some veterans banging around sometimes, showing up, lifting weights, some of the guys that live here and have family and whatnot. I don't know. I haven't been in the locker room in 3 years. Speak to me about what is going on out there because I don't have the heartbeat the way I once did, where they would allow real media members to come out and ask them questions. They don't like that sort of thing lately. And Justin Tucker would be very indicative of why.
Well, we're kind of into the second phase of the offseason program. We're still a couple weeks out from OTAs, and obviously we're about a month out from mandatory minicamp, and then they'll go away for another 5 weeks after that, and then it'll be training camp. I mean, it'll be here before you know it. But this is the time of year where the rookies, of course, have already completed rookie camp. You're getting those guys acclimated, whether you're talking about the draft picks or undrafted, rookie free agents. You're still shaping your roster. You still do have some open roster spots. I'll throw a name out there just to stir the pot a little bit. Jadeveon Clowney was just released by the Carolina Panthers. Is there interest in a reunion there? I'm guessing it won't be anytime soon because Clowney doesn't like going through training camp. And
I
hey.
must say, Terry Beck, I had dinner at Cooper's Pub in Cooper's North in Mays Chapel. First thing he said to me on Sunday, Mother's Day, it wasn't Happy Mother's Day, wasn't it? Hey, it was Jadeveon
We're gonna get
Clowney.
Clowney?
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So, it never rests.
No,
Well,
it never does. It never does. And look, we'll see what happens on that front. I think some
that's
of
very
that.
typical of what they would do. That
No
this makes
question.
all the sense in the world,
No
right?
question. If it happens, I won't be surprised. At the same time, you have these young guys. You've added Mike Green to that picture. Off-field questions aside, he's a really talented player. So I think we'll see. Look, I don't think Clowney's signing with anyone right now. So you go through, you evaluate how your young guys look, and you see where he is. You see where what his timetable is for a decision. Does he want to come in wherever he's going to play? Is he thinking like mid-August? Is he thinking the first day of training camp? Or, I mean, hey, Carolina gave him a 2-year deal. That's why he signed as early as he did with the Panthers last offseason. So, but those are the kind of players you're still talking about. At this point, we know that the roster for any team, the heaviest lifting has been completed. It doesn't mean it's finished, but free agency, you've had your first, second, third waves of free agency. That's calmed down at this point in time, even if there are still interesting veteran players out there like Jadeveon Clowney. I guess a trade is always possible, as we saw with George Pickens now being a Dallas Cowboy. As I actually think that trade went down as you and I were finishing up a segment last week, kind of in real time. But so there's that. But really, a lot of what's going on in terms of on the field in Owings Mills or wherever teams train, this is kind of football school. This is kind of where you're really bringing guys up to speed. Whether you're talking about young guys, whether you're talking about some veteran players, and mainly depth guys, we're talking about. Certainly, it's a big part of what teams that have new coaching staffs are doing this time of year. But you're kind of, this sounds a little silly saying this, and this is something we often have said about rookie camp. kind of teaching your guys how to practice at this point in time. You know, you're kind of teaching them, okay, this is how, you know, it's not as simplistic as, okay, here's the huddle, but you are showing guys how it's going to work, you know, what your philosophies are. You're teaching the offense, you're teaching the defense, what tweaks, what changes you're making, all of that. But also understanding that not all of your veteran players are going to be in the building every single day of every single week, or, you know, until mandatory mini camp. So, you know, it's mainly for the younger guys. It's mainly for fringe roster guys. It's mainly for guys that you hope are ascending players or veteran players that are barely hanging on that might feel like, hey, I need to be there because I'm not a roster lock at this point in my career. So,
Well, who are those guys? Because, I mean, historically, you know, that would have been a Brent Urban type, right? That would have been a
sure.
Patrick Ricard type, right? Like guys that are here and have been here, maybe part of the furniture a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you a couple names that just come to mind right now. I mean, he's not a veteran in the way that you think of a Brent Urban, but I'll tell you who this spring and summer is big for. Look at someone like David Ajabo. I mean, all the injuries, right? But a second round pick, guy that, you know, it stinks for him that he tore his Achilles at his pro day. He was, you know, some people mocked him to the Ravens in the first round. It hasn't happened for him. And that's not to say that he can't contribute this year, but look at the reality of their roster. Before we even talk about potentially adding Jadeveon Clowney or another veteran, but you have Mike Green, who was just drafted, has 4 years on a rookie deal. You have Adisa Isaac, who was drafted in the third round last year, still has 3 years left on his rookie deal. You have Tavius Robinson, who still has 2 years left on his rookie deal. All of these guys are, even if they're on similar footing as Ajabo from a performance standpoint to this point in their NFL careers, Ajabo is in the last year of his rookie deal. I mean, that's the kind of guy where you say you might be expendable if the team feels that they have five other edge guys that are at least as good, if not better than you, and they also have team control. So I think he's interesting. I think someone like Jaylen Armour Davis, who, you know, has shown talent but can't stay on the field. Well, the Ravens drafted two corners in this draft. They added Awuzie as far as a veteran number three corner. You know, is someone like Armour Davis, who, you know, has never really been on the roster bubble. I think he's on the roster bubble at this point in time. So these aren't necessarily established veterans that you think of in terms of guys that have been here 7 or 8 years. You know, you mentioned Patrick Ricard. I mean, Patrick Ricard is never on the bubble during camp. The question for him is more, are you going to re-sign him? You know, are you going to, and they did that. They signed him to a 1 year deal. They brought him back for another year, and we'll see how that plays out. But, you know, in terms of guys that are maybe well-known names that are on the roster bubble, I don't know if there are too many guys like that. I mean, I'll say this, the DUI part of it aside, I mean, Ben Cleveland's not a roster lock. If they like a couple of these rookie linemen, or if there's an undrafted lineman they bring in where they say, man, we really like this guy. I mean, Ben Cleveland's on a 1 year vet minimum deal. They'll cut him. I mean, it's so there's always some of that going on, but yeah, this time of year is, it's for the young guys. It's for the fringe veteran players. I mean, everyone's trying to make their mark. They're trying to make good on their attendance to impress the coaches that way. But in terms of anything high stakes, in terms of anything meaningful, I mean, I said this to you last week when we were recapping rookie camp, where I said, here's my takeaway from rookie camp. Malachi Starks and Mike Green look better than everyone else, which is what you want from your first and second round pick. Otherwise, what else is there really to say, right? I mean, it's a bunch of guys out there practicing who they have a story to tell their grandkids one day, but many of those guys will never be heard from again in NFL terms because they tried out for rookie camp and they didn't make it. So, and good for them. Like I'm not being disrespectful. That's just the truth. So that's where we are. But, you know, kind of the headline this week, you know, beyond the residue of Justin Tucker, and we can certainly get into that, but schedule comes out this week. You know, we finally have the schedule. If you're listening to our segment in real time, you've probably already heard some games leaked around the league. It's hilarious, Nestor. We get the full
Are there
release.
real leaks or fake
No,
leaks? Because
these are
I've seen
real.
them all. Yeah.
So what we're going to see, and this is straight from the NFL's broadcast partners will announce the following games. On Monday, the Today Show is going to announce some Sunday Night Football. I don't think it's the whole schedule. I think it's, you know, the season opening game, I suppose, maybe another game.
I
Box.
remember how much I pissed off Dick Cass and Kevin Byrne when I used to get this first
Oh,
every
no
year,
doubt.
and they never understood, like, people travel, they build,
Sure.
weddings, bar mitzvahs, parties, birthday celebrations, family celebrations, Thanksgiving. And by the way, they're only playing three games on Christmas because they
I
can't
know,
play
right?
four.
I'm just thinking, okay, is this the year where the Ravens play at home on Christmas? And then it's, so we'll see.
They're going to play in Buffalo. That's going to screw up our Buffalo trip because you and I have a whole
Yeah.
Buffalo thing
We have
planned. So
a
we
whole
got a
thing
thing,
dreamed up.
and they're going to
Sure.
screw it up. I'm sure they're
Sure.
going to screw it up. I'm
But yeah,
waiting.
NBC and Fox will announce games Monday. Prime will, Amazon will announce something Monday. ESPN on Tuesday. CBS on Wednesday. Netflix will be on Wednesday. So I guess, during the day Wednesday, we're going to find out the Christmas schedule because Netflix carries those.
Nickelodeon doing anything? Just to
They do. I mean, I don't think
I
they get
watch a
any.
lot of Nickelodeon. I'm a kid at heart.
Yeah. I don't think Nickelodeon gets anything exclusive, but they get those kid broadcasts, which, have the graphics and animation and stuff like that, which kids love. I mean, it's not
Okay.
something that, hey,
The
they're,
fifth
but
grade school teacher in you, I can just,
they're
I
casting their,
gotcha.
we talk about it all the time with baseball, right? Different things that are done. We always say, man, this isn't for us.
It
This is
ain't for
for,
me, right?
yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So, and then of course, we're also going to get the international schedule. I mean, it's no secret the international schedule has grown. What, there's two games in London. There's a game in Berlin. There's a game in Spain this year. They're going to have a game in Dublin. The Steelers are involved in that game. So we'll see if and when the Ravens might be playing overseas. So a lot going on this week, but Wednesday night will be the full schedule release. And to your point, I mean, not just obviously you and me, we talk about this as our livelihood, but you mentioned a wedding. I have a cousin who's getting married in late September. I'm guessing I probably will not be able to because it's out of town. But if the Ravens happen to play a Monday night game that week, maybe I can make it to a
Maybe I
Saturday
can
wedding, right?
cover the game for
Yeah,
you for my
well,
own company.
sure.
Maybe
Yeah,
I'd be
yeah.
allowed to do that if I weren't Hispanic.
Sure.
I don't know what I am that I can't cover the games anymore, but nonetheless, that's another story altogether. Maybe it's because I would report on things like Justin Tucker being a serial predator if I knew that.
But those are the kind of things we're all waiting on, right? Whether you're a fan, whether you're looking to travel, whether you're just looking to see, hey, what games am I going to go to this year? I may not have season tickets, but I want to go to three or four games. I mean, you see more and more people that are like that, or they have season tickets and they're going to sell half of them. Which half are they going to sell, right? So we know the Ravens are going to play the NFC North. They're going to play the AFC East. They've got that, we have that stray NFC AFC game that's added into the schedule. They play the Rams at home. We remember the game those two teams played a couple years ago, absolute classic, with Tylan Wallace with the punt return. And of course they'll play the Chiefs and the Texans, first place schedule. So, it's
But when you
not.
look at their schedule, strength of schedule, we always get like, "Ooh, they have a tough streak." It never works out that way, but it
Yeah.
kind of does a little bit too, in regard that nobody wants to play the Ravens either. Nobody wants to
Oh,
see Lamar.
no question. I mean, they want to, fans want to see him from an entertainment standpoint. But yeah, if it's your team, you don't want to see Lamar. I mean, that's why I've kind of, every time I hear like off-season storylines, like what do the Ravens need to do to get over the hump? Do they need this? Do they need that? And no, it's they need to not turn the ball over three times in Buffalo, right? They need to not turn the fumble the ball over the goal line like they did 2 years ago against KC. I mean, this team's as formidable as anyone in football and has been from the time Lamar took over, when he's healthy. They've been that as formidable as anyone in the regular season. That's a matter of January. I don't know if you were muted, but I went out.
Oh, that's me. Okay, my
Okay, I
bad.
just wanted
Yeah,
to make
my bad.
sure. So,
Yeah, my bad.
because every once in a while, the audio will go out for a couple seconds.
The
That
kicking
happens.
part of this for Justin Tucker and the notion that he's not here anymore, and the notion that it's going to be different, and the notion that the whole program is going to change a little bit because 65-yard field goals might not be a thing with Tyler Loop, especially early on, and 48-yard field goals are just an automatic thing around here and have been for a decade. There's going to be a little bit of a change in the program with Lamar and fourth downs and going forward, all the things that they would do once they would get to the 45, 50, 45-yard line to say, we have a special kicker. We have a different thing here. Remains to be seen if that will ever happen again for the program here. I know they've tried that with Tyler Loop, but in their heart of hearts, I don't think they wanted the curbside Justin Tucker. It was not a football decision at all. If it was a football decision, they'd have him kicking, they'd have him competing because I still think deep down they believe in Justin Tucker. Off the field aside, all of that, I don't think they wanted to junk him.
And look, I think it's very reasonable to suggest that the Ravens could have brought in a young kicker that they liked to push Tucker a little bit to compete with him, right? I mean, I don't think we need to view it in such black and white terms that there was no, because I'll say this, at the season-ending press conference, which was what, days before the Banner's original reporting came out, initial reporting came out, DaCosta was asked about Justin Tucker and the possibility of competition and all of that. So I don't think that part of it, but yes, let's not, let's call a spade. They wouldn't have just released him, right? But because you release him with a post-June 1st designation anyway. So it's not as though a post-June 1st designation, like you can release the guy in August and it's going to have the same impact as giving that designation. So yeah, they could have had him do that. But I think to go back to the football element of this, the reality of life in the post Justin Tucker world, they kind of had to do it last year, right? He had a bad season. They were at a point where, not that they were completely playing differently, because they were trying to get him back on track, but you certainly weren't trusting him to the same degree. I mean, the last couple years, him from beyond 50 yards had become spotty at best. So from that standpoint, maybe things aren't quite as drastically changed, but you don't have all that institutional established confidence in your kicker in the way that you do when you have Justin Tucker for 13 years. And I mean, let's think about this. And I think this is wild for this team. This team has had basically two kickers handle all but what, 3 years of their 30 years of history, or 29 seasons of Ravens football. Matt Stover from 96 through 08. And then they had a few years where, Hauschka, Cundiff, Shane Graham, like go through the list.
Well, and Graham Gano, throw him in there too. So I would just say, that's more normal than what
Sure.
they've
Oh, yeah.
had. That's
Oh,
more
no question.
normal. Yeah.
No
Now I
question.
was around when Steve Hauschka was missing those kicks, and it wasn't good. It was, and he went on to have a hell of a career, won a Super Bowl. Graham Gano, ditto. They both won Super Bowls. They both had great careers, but it just didn't work out early on here, right? Like, so you always say it's not linear. It's not linear with kickers, especially.
Oh, I mean, kickers, they're kind of like relievers in baseball, right? I mean, it's like the stock market. Guys will be great and then they're not anymore. I mean, that's really what you have, but it's wild. I looked at it, just as this was more of a look at Tyler Loop and now the Ravens in this post Justin Tucker world. You think about this, as I mentioned, Justin Tucker and Matt Stover handled the kicking 26 of 29 seasons. Those two account for roughly 90% of the field goals made and tried in this team's history. For some perspective, some context, the Washington Commanders, great season last year,
Yeah.
right? They got to the NFC Championship. They had four different guys try field goals for them last year. So it speaks to even a good team can have issues like that. So,
It
hey,
can be the biggest issue on your team.
it can be, no question. Now, I will say this much. If you're an offense that's going to be as equipped as I expect the Ravens to be once again, you feel more conviction and confidence going. I mean, this team still went on fourth. I mean, they went on 4th and inches from their own, what, 18-yard line last year one time?
And they're
So,
also the most dangerous two-point conversion team
of
in the league
course.
because of the quarterback. So,
Of course.
they don't need to kick as much as they used to, but
But you
it
still
really
want it
was
in your
nice.
bag.
It was nice having 63-yard field goals be a thing here for a
Yeah.
decade.
Well, and that's why, hey, you had Randy Brown do his homework. They really like Tyler Loop. In fact, I even heard Tyler Loop, his at Arizona, I believe he's the defensive coordinator now. His name off the top of my head, I don't have it in front of me. I watched this last week, though. He was our special teams coach last year, and he was talking about Tyler Loop, talking about the fact that they didn't have a lot of experience with their long snapper or their holder. Their operation was sloppy. And he estimated that out of the, I think he went 18 of 23 last year for Arizona, his last year in college. He said one of those was an actual miss. He said the others, going back and look at it, there was some issue with the snap, some issue with the hold, something like that that messed up where you say, okay, Tyler Loop coming to the next level. This is where Jordan Stout, your holds need to be on point. Nick Moore, your long snapping needs to be perfect because you are going to have a rookie kicker who is very talented. He has a very strong leg. I mean, he made a 62-yard. I mean, he set the school record at Arizona, made a 62-yarder last year. So this isn't a, I mean, it's the first kicker they've ever drafted. You know the Ravens. If there's one thing that, yeah, I don't want to even say that because it kind of sounds like a backhanded compliment. It's not, but they've always been very good from a special team standpoint. Like at least in the John Harbaugh era, with a couple seasons as exceptions. It's something they exhaust, and use a lot of resources. They exhaust a lot of energy into their kicking game and their special teams. So for them to know the reality of where they were with Tucker, regardless of what the timing was going to be of when he was going to be released or if he was going to be released, they had to do their homework on kickers. So this is the kid they liked. Now, I'll say you can like a kicker as much as you want, and he can look as great as you want him to look in May practices and June OTAs and mini camp and training camp and even preseason games. Or you know what? I'll even go as far as saying he can look good kicking against the Browns in your week three game in Baltimore. And I that's not a scheduled leak. That's a hypothetical. That's not the same as making a big kick in Pittsburgh or a big kick in Cincinnati in December. Certainly not the same as making a big kick in January. So that's where there will be some unknown. But as we pointed out, Justin Tucker's coming off the worst year of his career. Even though he finished on a higher note, there were certainly some questions about him long before the Banner reporting came out, and the scandal and everything, where you say, look, I mean, this, what's going to happen here? There were questions even before that. So that's where you look at this thing and you say, Tyler Loop, we're not going to just hand you the job. They're going to bring in another kicker. They haven't made it official, but they're all signs point to them bringing in the Wyoming kicker that they had as a tryout in rookie camp. His name's John Hoyland. Whether it's him or some other veteran they add at some point during training camp, they're going to push Loop. They're not just going to hand him the gig. In the same way that when they signed Graham Gano way back when, there was competition for him, and he ended up getting, he was beat out ultimately. So, Steve Hauschka beat him out. What was that? 2009, I guess it was, off the top of my head. We're gonna have to see how this goes. It could be fine, and Tyler Loop could be the next great Ravens kicker in the same way that Matt Stover and Justin Tucker were those guys for a decade plus. Or, heaven forbid, they could be in a situation where they've got three different guys kicking for them this year because they can't quite get it right. I mean, it's very much a, it's a finicky mental kind of gig where you get in your head. I mean, we saw this with Tucker last year. It got in his head, and boy, he struggled big time. And we had never seen that from him before. So it was jarring, but it was a reminder. And like I said, I used the Commanders, Washington as an example last year, that, yeah, sometimes it can be that way. And if it's going to have to, if it ends up that way for the Ravens, you certainly don't like it. But what's that going to mean? They're going to be going for it more on fourth down and things of that nature. So, and hey, the argument could be made that sometimes that's not a bad thing, but because you can do better in terms of scoring points. But if you need to make a big kick, if you're in a spot where you need a 57-yarder to win it with 1 second to go, yeah, there's going to be a big question about Tyler Loop. But as I said, in fairness, considering where Justin Tucker was trending, if there was going to be questions about him, even taking away all the off-field stuff that certainly brought his legacy to a scandalous end.
Anything you want to say about this, the NFL sham investigation and when that's going to come out? Because there's no question that the Ravens' timing on this, and I was asked last week, and I'll
Yeah.
let you speak to this as to why John Harbaugh would get in front of you and continue to lie, because he has no accountability. That's why he lies, because there's no price to be paid for his lies at all, ever. No one even calls him a liar. He gets more car deals. But Sunday, later this month, and the next day, cut 4 o'clock
Yeah.
on a Monday. Why? People have asked me why. I have, and again, I'm trying to get in the head of Chad Steele, and I've been trying to do that for 20 years. The idea would be they don't have to face anybody for 3 weeks. And the
Yeah.
idea would be like, y'all are just going to forget that Justin Tucker was just here, and they're going to say, hey, we don't want any more questions about him. He's not our kicker anymore. Like, they're going to say that. They're going to say he's not our kicker anymore. Don't we have no questions, no speaking. No, he's not our guy. Sorry, we cut him. We cut him for football reasons. You see the kicks he missed? So I can see Harbaugh burring up on all of this, and I can see the pressing for what this organization knew and when they knew it about this legendary, good-looking, romantic Christian singing, Dr. Peppering, chicken eating, coffee drinking kicker. Who is beloved in the community? Wasn't beloved by me, but apparently women dug Justin Tucker. And this is, they're trying to backpedal from this in a
Yeah.
PR way. And they have a PR director that doesn't understand public relations, by the way, a brand manager who can't manage his own brand. But this notion that there's going to be 23 days before they have to face you and that tough Jameson Hensley and the Jeff Zrebecks with those tough questions about the kicker's potential sexual predatory behavior and what the team would know, that they're done answering questions on it. They're gonna poo-poo you and anyone else that asks any questions. They're gonna burr up because they have plenty to hide out there. They don't want any questions about any of this. So for me, this was a performative cut of him in regard to not having media sniffing around the next 3 weeks, because I would say all of us, they kicked me out of the building a long time ago. They've kicked you out of the building for the next 3 weeks. And that's probably what the timing was about last Monday.
Yeah, I mean, and you and I even talked about it that morning, as we were coming out of rookie camp, and I had noted to you Harbaugh's comments where, and I'm believe me, this is not me suggesting whatsoever that I knew it was coming later that day, but it very much to me it at least threw up the sensors of I don't think this guy's making it to OTAs and taking the practice field with cameras there, reporters there. So why it was last Monday as opposed to this week? Or say the Friday before Memorial Day, where that would have been a few days before the first OTA. The first OTA is about 2.5 weeks out, at 2 week, roughly 2 weeks away. May 28th, I think it is off the top of my head. So I you could sense that. As far as specifically why Monday, May 5th, I don't know. Other than they had every intention to draft a kicker, whether it was going to be Tyler Loop or someone else that they liked that, maybe it was the kicker that the Patriots took right before them. Maybe it was someone else they would have taken had Loop been gone, but they did that. Perhaps they wanted to see him in their building, take part in rookie camp to make sure it wasn't like this guy has the yips in rookie camp and we can't even go that far. But I mean, they obviously wanted to move on. In terms of the wording, look, Justin Tucker has attorneys. If you call it a football decision, teams have coverage, right? I mean, the NFL doesn't have guaranteed deals. Was that done to cover them in the possibility of any kind of a grievance? Where
Well,
if
the
you
fact
cite
that the press release is issued as, I mean, how many press releases ever have they said we've cut a guy because of football? We want to make sure it was because of football, because it was only
Yeah.
because of football. Every cut they've ever made has been about football, right? I mean, but they specified it
Yeah.
because clearly Justin Tucker has lawyers going after the banner, going at, I
And
mean,
that's the thing, right?
the issue here is tenfold for them, and they're swept up in it after Ray Rice. They drafted this kid, Mike Green. They can't get us to stop talking about their bad behavior because they have position themselves through their Johnny Bravo and Michelle Andrus and Ravens.com as the perfect organization, and they have standards, and they're zero, they're of the community, and they're just like you, and they're like all of that. That they're running a different rogue kind of operation out there that I'm aware of, that including kicking people like me out, which is just it's unheard of, but they've done this. I've seen the people who manage it. Sashi Brown is not popular anywhere, really. He's got a job for life. Chad Steele's got a job for life. The owner's checked out. The owner has no accountability at all in any of this. And the coach will lie and run from it. And the general manager, when's the next time Eric DaCosta is going to get in front of the media? Is that August? When does that happen next for him?
After final cuts and the
So
league.
Eric DaCosta gets to hide from May 5th until August 28th before he has to comment on Justin Tucker. That's disgraceful. Eric, you're a disgrace. And if anybody sees you, I want to tell you that, all of it. The fact that they, as an organization that used to recruit the community, I wrote a book. I got Purple Rain One with David Modell. The first thing the coach was supposed to do is recruit the community. They are going to run from all of this and hide from all of this and deflect from all of this because their legal department's telling them that. And this is what Chad Steele wants. This is what the owner wants, is them to run from all of this. So this is the running period for them, is what I would call this, the hiding period.
And that's why, the timing being that's why I thought they were going to move on from him before OTAs, and they also didn't want the image of Justin Tucker taking the practice field for them again. I suppose that was a big part. I guess the thing that, and look, that acknowledging everything you just said, the thing that's just curious to me is you repeatedly deferred to the NFL's investigation, regardless of what any individual thinks about the NFL conducting an investigation. It's still occurring. We don't know when it'll be completed. We don't know exactly what they'll put out about it, other than assuming Justin Tucker's going to have some semblance of a suspension. Assuming he's not, they're not going to find evidence that completely exonerates him or anything.
Oh, but
So,
do they find evidence that convicts him, though?
sure, but the point I'm trying to make is they deferred to that repeatedly, whether it was the combine, the pre-draft press conference, Harbaugh speaking at the owners' meetings, in late March. So why did it change? You kept saying you were going to wait for the NFL to play out its investigation, but then when you draft his replacement, you say it's a football decision. I guess I'm just, you could have said it was going to be a football decision all along. Even after that came out and said, look, I mean, we're looking at kickers anyway. I mean, you guys asked about the possibility of Justin Tucker having competition against him. So that's the part I think is interesting, but also understanding the reality of, we know it's not a football decision. I mean, I'm not excusing them for that, but I also understand why why any team would hide behind that. Because Justin Tucker has attorneys, and who knows what potential grievance could be fired if you would say that it's because of that, yet you haven't allowed an investigation that you said you were going to allow play out, and then you don't let it play out. So I don't know. I mean, it's
Well, this it goes back to what they say and what they do. They're
sure.
unbelievably dastardly. I've called them sleazy. Sleazy is the word I would use, and I've gone through the definitions of what sleazy is. Sleazy is the exact word. It's the perfect word for how the Baltimore Ravens operate, to say that we're not down with women being abused here. We don't want that, but we're going to cut them for football reasons. But we're not going to let the investigation. We're not going to take any questions, and then we're going to draft a kid that got himself thrown out of Virginia on a zero tolerance policy. But our policy is not really zero. It's a little different. Well, he was different then. And in the middle of all of this, I mean, it's tone deaf. But they can afford to be tone deaf. I mean, they just don't care. And once you get through the fact that they don't care, then you're where you need to be ethically, logically, when you're buying the tickets and investing your time and thinking that they have some ethics that they don't have. They just don't. So knowing that, cheer for them, root for them. They're the bad guy. They led the league in penalties last year, all of that, but they'll lie at the drop of a hat. They will, and they'll cover it up, and they'll send their legal department out. They'll send that 6'8" good looking brand manager there is out in front of it. He's never in front of anything because he doesn't talk. But they're not going to have to talk for 3 weeks, and that's they like it that way. That's so anybody ask why, so they don't have to talk about it for 3 weeks, and they think you're going to forget about it. And almost probably by the end of the month, this investigation will become whatever public the NFL is going to release on this is going to be a joke. But whatever it's going to be, it's either going to check the box of pass fail as far as what he did or didn't do, and whether the negotiation of a 4-game or 6-game suspension, and whether he can work again in the league, and where that's going to be. It's fascinating. It's unprecedented, and the Ravens want to run from it, and they're going to. And they're going to. And when you ask a question about it, they're going to say he doesn't work here anymore. I've already gotten that answer for them, right? That's easy for them. They will never speak about this again, right? Unless they get dragged into court, and that'll never happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, will they wish him well, something along those lines? But yeah, to address anything real about it, yeah, they're
They're
gonna.
done answering questions. That's why they cut him last Monday, so they wouldn't have to answer any questions, and they can say he doesn't work here anymore. That's the reason
And
they cut him last Monday.
like I said, I had opined that, I had noted, I had noticed that their first OTA open to media, which is the next time that they have a scheduled media availability where reporters will be out there, was what, 3 days after, 2 days after Memorial Day. So that's why I had opined that maybe that Friday, and then come to think about it more, well, the sooner you do it, the more dead time there is. And
You had said something in the segment last week. Well, if they cut him anytime in the next 3 weeks, you said, you were given that. They won't have to have a press con like, and they did it 5 o'clock the next day, 5:01.
So, and the
This
truth
was
is,
their strategy, and now we're trying to get the rationale for their
and the
strategy.
truth is, in their minds, a lot of people will move on from that point in time. And
Of
I mean,
course.
there's no question about it. I mean, it's the NFL, right? And we've talked about it. We all know the NFL's gross, like as an entire entity. We've seen that over and over. Yet it's the most popular form of entertainment short of Taylor Swift in this country, like, I mean, that's what you're talking about here. So, it's going to go on. And for a lot of people, I've had these conversations, not necessarily even about Justin Tucker, just, entertainment. We've talked about it, how they're bad characters. I mean, there's bad characters everywhere, right? I mean, the world's not a perfect place. None of us are perfect on some level, right? We all have our flaws, but, when these types of things happen, whether it's football, whether it's the movie industry, whether it's music, go through the list. There is that trying to separate the art from the artist, so to speak. Because, there might be a musician that you don't think of very much as a human being, but you really love their music, or an actor, or obviously athletes, as we, are talking about Justin Tucker specifically here, talking about the fact that Justin Tucker was very much beloved in this community by a lot of people. I mean, you make the kick to send the team to the AFC Championship as a rookie in double overtime, and everything that happened after that, the opera, commercials, the fact that he was the best, most accurate kicker in NFL history. He was the last player left from their last Super Bowl team. So I get all that. But yeah, when you're talking about being a consumer, when you're talking about free market and capitalism and just how dirty that can be, you do have to make a decision as a consumer, as a fan, as a watcher of movies, as a patron, and you kind of have to make a decision what's going to be okay for you. And I can't sit here and tell anyone what that threshold needs to be. I have private thoughts about individuals or entities out there, but I also understand, like, regardless, I mean, the NFL is wildly popular. I've talked about this a lot. I hate that the NFL plays games on Christmas, personally speaking, but I also understand that plenty of people don't even celebrate Christmas, and the ones who do still want to watch football. And I respect that, right? But at the same time, all things being equal, if I weren't covering the NFL for a living, would I be sitting there watching three full games on Christmas Day. I'm not saying I wouldn't have it on in the background maybe at some point, but I'm going to be way more interested in playing with my nieces and their new toys that they got from Santa Claus that morning, you know, like that. So we all have things that we prioritize. We all have things that we value. We all have things that we would consider to be deal breakers or things that we say, you know what? I don't really like that, but I still love going to games. I still love the team. I may not love that player, or I may not love the way the organization handles that element of things, but I still enjoy it because I love going with my dad or my brother or my sister or my grandmother. You know, I've taught me everything I know about baseball or football or whatever. So, you know, these are the decisions and these are the things that we all have to weigh. And that's not to make it be a cop out for when an organization has missteps and doesn't do things well, or when a player has shameful behavior off the field. But people are going to feel a certain way about it. And even if they feel a certain way about it, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to stop watching. You know, I suspect the Ravens consider all of that, or any organization is going to consider all of that and say, what's the path of least resistance here in terms of business standpoint? I mean, ultimately, it's a business at the end of the day. And they moved on from Justin Tucker. You and I don't have to agree or like how they handled elements of it. But is that going to
All I
drastically?
think is they think it's done right now and they want it to be done and it
Yeah.
shouldn't be done. It shouldn't, from a journalism
That's.
standpoint, it shouldn't be done. There are a lot of questions that they should have to answer for as an organization through this.
That's fine. And that's fine. I don't disagree with you. But at the same time, there are also a lot of people out there that will think it's done, you know, in terms
Power,
of.
wealth, misogyny, just all,
I hear you.
predatory, just
Believe me,
all the way
I
through.
understand.
All of this is gross.
I do not disagree. You know, there's certainly questions I have just like you, but at the same time, the machine's going to go on. You know, the NFL is going to put out their schedule and their league games and Wednesday. I mean, what other league? I mean, baseball puts out their schedule randomly on like a Wednesday afternoon in August. You know what I mean? Like, there's no announcement. They just put it out. Whereas the league has now the system where they breadcrumb, you know, the schedule for 4 days leading into the release, and people eat it up. I like that sounds silly to me. Like, to me, it's like, we know the 17 games, just put it out. Like, I want to know just for planning purposes, but I'm not like on the edge of my seat, like, oh my gosh, like, what Sunday night game are they, like, just put it out. They're gonna get five primetime games or six primetime games because of the Ravens are one of the best teams in the league. They got the two of the, you know, one of the best two or three quarterbacks in football year in and year out. So they're going to have that. But for a lot of people, I mean, this week is like, it's a 10 in terms of how excited they are about the schedule release. And I don't say that to kill anyone's joy, to be clear, but that's the NFL. That's what, in terms of what you mentioned, as far as accountability and questions and disdain that you might feel for how things are handled, what you're up against, or what anyone's up against with those feelings, what they're up against is just the insatiable enthusiasm and just how wildly popular the NFL is, that yeah, they can get away with not handling things well when things of this nature come up, and you know, calling a spade, not needing to have a whole lot of accountability, quite frankly, whether that's
Well,
right or
that's how he
wrong.
got away with it to begin with.
Sure,
Yeah.
sure.
That's how they all get away with it. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke. He's not getting away with it. We're going to make him cover football, even in the offseason, whether he wants to or not. Schedule, schedule, schedule. Wednesday night, we'll be here. You'll get it first on the WNSD tech service. All that brought to you by Bill Cole and Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy, who I'm be traveling with this week. We're heading west out to Las Vegas. We'll be doing the show from the pool at the Encore in Las Vegas. It is the Maryland Party. You can look it up, themarylandparty.com. It's pretty cool. Business event for lots and lots of folks. A lot of business gets done. A lot of things happen out in Vegas. We'll be coming back on the 28th. We'll be at Fadley's for the first time since opening day week. The Cardinals will be in town. The Orioles will still be below 500 at that point. I don't know if there'll be a point where they'll be over 500. If they are, we're going to have some really happy radio here the next couple of weeks. They're going to go 10 games over 500 to get to that point before the All-Star break. But Luke and I are watching baseball, monitoring football, waiting on the schedule, waiting on Memorial Day. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive, even when it's not so positive.